Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Monday evening. We just want to say good evening and hopefully you had a blessed weekend and a blessed start of your week Monday on today. We just want to give honor to the Lord who's the head of our lives, who woke us up with the mind to praise and serve the Lord and gave us all activities of our limbs. And again, put us in the right mind frame to serve the Lord on this day. We just want to welcome all those that are online at www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Terry Oliver, and those that called in on the phone lines, 845-277-9094. We just want to say thank you for joining us tonight. I'm excited tonight. I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm just excited about what God is doing. And when I say that, I just say it. I'm a little too hyped right now, so I'm going to let my wife open us up with prayer. And anything she has to say, so I'm going to turn it over to Kay.
All right. Good evening and happy Monday to everybody. Thank y'all for tuning in. All right. We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come to you this evening just thanking you for everything that you've done for us on this day. Thank you for allowing us to see this day that was not promised to us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, we ask that you just be in the midst on tonight. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we do thank you for being our strength and our redeemer. We thank you for just letting your will be done in our lives. We pray that something is said, something is heard, that's edifying unto you, so that way your people can hear what you are trying to say through this topic on tonight. Lord, we thank you for leading us and guiding us and being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We do everything to bring you honor, to bring you joy, nothing for ourselves. Lord, we thank you, and it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. In your hands.
Oh, I thought you was going to start us off. Go ahead. I'm a little too hype right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to calm myself down.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find out what the hypeness is about. But tonight we're going to be talking about transition. And I do have a definition that I looked up here. It says transition, the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. And whether the transition is going to be, you know, we have our personal transitions, financial, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Your transition may be in the ministry. It could be at home, your home life. It could be something that's not so great, and then it can also be something that's adventurous for you, like starting a business or, you know, going into business on your own, or, you know, the transition that I'm faced with right now with my children. I have a son that's transitioning to adulthood, and we've been having some rough patches, and it's kind of scary when you don't know what you want to do going forward. So transitions can be scary. Transitions can be happy, can be beneficial. Transitions can also be a warning for us because the Lord is trying to get our attention for something. And sometimes we may feel overwhelmed or uncertain, you know, about the decisions that we have to make, because every day we do have to make a decision. And we are responsible for the decisions that we make. So daily, our lives transition daily. Moment by moment, your life can transition. Whether you're single, married, young or old, you know, at any season in your life, you know, you're subject to change. And a lot of the times, change happens whether we're ready for it or not. Whether we plan for it or not, and it can come unexpectedly. It can be, like I said, it can be good, it can be bad, and whatever the change that hits us, it's important that we remember that there is a God who sits high and looks low, so he's going to help us weather the storm of our transition. So I'm going to let you talk now.
Well, one thing about transitioning is it's important because every day of your life is a transition, and you have to look at it as a transition, because if you're not, you're not growing. If you're not transitioning every phase of your life, you should be have some type of transit. You should. In marriage, if you're married, it should be a transition. If you're not, if I stay the same way every day, 365 days a year, there's no way my wife can survive it, and vice versa, because you have to transition on a daily basis. You have to grow. And speaking to believers, you have to be able to grow. And in order to transition, if you cannot transition as being a believer and a follower of Christ, you're going to find that when you do transition, you're going to look at it the way the world looks at it instead of the way that the Lord looks at it. Because if you're transitioning, it's always for growth. It's never to belittle you. It's always for growth. Even in death, it's for growth. Because we don't look at death the way that the world looks at death. When you're transitioning, it's always for growth. If you're saved and if you're in the Lord, you're transitioning daily. You're supposed to be growing daily. And each day, you're supposed to get to a new level. If you're starting businesses, okay, you're excited when you start your business. It's a transition. It's an excitement of growth. If you're starting a family, transitioning, you're transitioning into growth. It ain't always pretty, but the end result is always good when you're transitioning over. Sometimes when kids transition, sometimes when they are a baby, they're transitioning into adolescence, and from adolescence to young adults to adults. Everything is and it's supposed to be a good thing when you're transitioning over. But if you look at it and you take it bad, then my thing is when you take transition and it's bad, it's because you're not have that relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's not going to be tough. But every time you transition, you're growing. And even when you make mistakes, you're still growing. You're not going to always be on top. You're going to slip. You're going to fall. But the good thing about it is you're not going to stay down, because you're going to transition to get up and not to fall again in the same spot that you fell in the last time. That's growth. And what we're going to talk about tonight is growth, really. It's transitioning. Me and my wife were just talking about making plans to go see our moms. And the thing about this is it's a transition period, because instead of them taking care of us, we're at the age now we have to take care of them. Instead of them always giving to us, we have to give back to them. So it's a different type of transition. You have to look at it in a good way, and not in a negative way, not in a bad way. It's a good thing, because we are at the age that we can take care of our parents. We can do things that they used to take care of us. Now it's our turn to take care of them. It's a transitioning period. And a lot of people miss the opportunity to do that. They always take. And then when their parents are gone, they never had an opportunity to thank them or to take care of them. And that's a blessing when you can be able to take care of your parents once you reach a certain age.
Yeah.
I told you I can go all day if you don't stop me, so I can keep on going.
Okay.
And I guess I will keep on going. And another way, like I said, when it comes to kids, I just had a conversation a few minutes ago with my son. I gave him a direct order. Not that he's a kid, not that he's little or I'm old enough, but I told him what I expected him to do. And the only thing he said was okay. See, it's a transitioning period. It's not that I'm telling him like a little kid. I'm telling him what I expect him to do. And his response was, okay, let me see what I can do. I said, no, I'm telling you, you need to be at a certain place at a certain time as a direct order. He says, okay. But what I'm saying is if you don't transition in a good way, it could lead you to stress. It could lead you to having a nervous breakdown, even in ministry. And I'm going to get into this in a minute, but I'm going to slow down and let you talk because what I'm going to say is very important. And if you don't have a relationship, I'm going to say it now, I'm going to let you talk, wife. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, there's no way, and I'm just telling you, if you're not reading the word, if you're not studying your word, if you're not practicing what you say that you're living, transitions is going to be hell in your life because you're not going to know how to deal with certain situations. And the only way that you can transition in a positive way is if you positively is transitioning with your relationship with the Lord. If you're not growing, you're not going to know how to you're not going to know how to handle certain situations when it comes time to transitioning over. When it comes to your relationships, whether it's your marriage or whether it's with your kids, if you don't have that relationship right with Christ, don't expect it to trickle down and you're going to have a relationship right with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your coworkers, because you don't know how to transition. You don't know how to take it to the next level. And sometimes taking things to the next level, meaning sometimes you just got to be quiet and pray about things instead of giving people a piece of your mind. That's transitioning. When you're dealing with your kids, when your kids become young adults, you can't treat them like they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. You have to treat them as if they're young adults because that's the way the world is going to treat them. And there's no way you can raise a kid up and tell them, okay, go take on the world, and you're still treating them like they're 3, 4, 5 years old. There's no way. You have to be ready for the transition. And the same way with Christ, you grow daily. Transitioning is a daily thing. If you're not dying daily, if you're not studying your word daily, everything else is going to come in, is going to lack. Go ahead, wife.
Amen, amen, amen. To add to that, with the relationship, you know, if we learn daily to put God first, he has to be number one priority. If we learn to put God first and ask him to lead and guide us and remember, you know, that he's with us, you know, every step of the way, no matter what any situation looks like, no matter how hard it looks, no matter, even if you feel that it's going to be an easy situation and you got this, you need to be seeking the Lord, making sure that this is where he's leading you and telling you to go. And also, you need to just keep reminding yourself that, you know, even though the situation may look hard, you may not know how to get from point A to point B. Like the pastor said, just go through it. You just got to keep moving, because if you stop, then you're not growing when you're stopping. So there is no, if you're not moving forward, then you're not transitioning.
And not only that, and I don't mean to cut you off, but not only that, but again, and I'm gonna keep iterating this. Yeah, I can't even say the word right. See, I'm getting tongue tied. You have to, and like I said before, like you're saying, keep moving. You have to move forward. But what people do, especially people in church, I'm not gonna say believers, is they want the presence of God and not the presence of God. And when you want the presence of God, you fake the funk. Like, you just want whatever God has for you, you just want it. But in order to have the presence of God, you got to have a relationship with God. Because God can't show up if you live in a hellish life. God can't show up if you're lying all the time. God can't be presence with you if you're not practicing what you so-called preach. And when I don't mean preach, but if you say you're saved and you love the Lord, be saved and love the Lord so you can have his presence with you all the time. And when you have his presence, then when it comes time to take that transition, he will be right there with you. When you try to go left, you're going to get convicted, and you won't go left. Because when God's conviction hits you, but if the God's conviction isn't hitting you, it's because he's not there. His presence isn't there. And when your presence isn't there, you're going to continue to fail in life because the transition that God wants you to do, you can't do it because his presence isn't there. As long as his presence is there, you'll be okay. And you can still make a mistake in his presence, but he'll pick you up and you'll keep going over it again. And that's where we make mistakes. We want his presence, but not his presence. And some of us living on grace and mercy because he keeps waking us up, giving us the ability to accept his presence, being there with you. But if you keep rejecting it and rejecting it, there's no way that you can make the transition to love your kids right. You can't take the position of loving your parents right. You can't take the position of loving your coworkers, even though they get on your nerve, or your unsaved family members, because you don't have the presence of God, but you want his presence. And every morning he wakes you up, he gives you breath in your body to accept his presence. That's for me, that's for my wife, that's for every believer, to accept his presence. And don't accept his presence. You have to study his word of God. That's the way you have a relationship with the Lord. The reason I'm excited, because I feel his presence. Is there still hell going on around me? Yes, it is. Is there still things people doing that? Yes, it is, but I have his presence. See, I can cope with it better because I'm in the presence of the Lord. And then it's not my way, but it's his way. He will handle the haters. He will handle the people who's going to not judge you right. He's going to take care of the undisciplined kids. He's going to take care of the sickness in people's body. The Lord is going to handle that. That's his job. It's not our... Long as we keep his presence, and that's staying in his word and staying before him, leaning unto him. And there was a lot of people, my wife's going to get into it in it right now, in the Bible that had to make transitions. And some of them was hard, but it was hard, but in the long run, it benefited the person or the family. So I'm going to shut up for a minute and let my wife talk. Go ahead.
I just want to go back on what you were saying about people want his presence, not his presence. So a lot of the times, you know, because of the type of world we live in, people want things like right now. If it doesn't happen right now, then they think God is not moving. You know, we are in a microwave society. So if he doesn't do it right then and there, then you go on to the next thing like, okay, well, you know, maybe God didn't have that for me. When we don't seek him and be patient for him to fulfill what he needs to fulfill in us. And a lot of the times, even in the process of us transitioning, it may be for somebody else to see the steps that we're taking. So that way maybe they can change their view on things and their transition may be a little bit different as well. I want to read 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. I'm sorry, keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And a lot of the times we do things as believers and we are out of order. We're doing things on our own will and not seeking God. And we need to repent as well. This repentance is not just for people who are not believers. It seems like a lot of believers feel that they don't have to repent. They don't need to come before the Lord and seek him for guidance and forgiveness. And they just keep going on. So instead of looking for the presence, looking for the gifts, looking for the things that the Lord can do for you or give you, let's look to getting in his presence and seeking his face for what he wants us to do to fulfill his purpose and his will in our life. That's the whole purpose of the transition process is to get to where he wants us to be, to fulfill his purpose. And like you said, I was looking at, I guess I'll say, let me just go into Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And this right here is one way of a transition that happened. There's so many different types of transitions and scriptures on transition in the Bible. So you get a moment, you can Google and you can look up different types of transitions, and maybe you can find one that relates to the situation that you're going through. But in chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." The Lord had Abram leave his everything that he knew. And sometimes you got to leave everything that you know. You got to leave those friends behind. You got to leave those habits behind. You may even have to leave that job behind. There are times when you have to move when the Lord tells you to move, and it may not look right to other people, but you have to do what the Lord is telling you to do. And because of Abram's obedience, many great nations came after him because he went through the necessary transition to fulfill God's plan. So if we are obedient to what the Lord is saying, that's the best place for us to be, not in our will, but in his will. And I wanted to also make a note that, you know, just because God promises to be with us through a transition doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And just because a transition is difficult doesn't mean we're outside of God's will. So we are going to go through different things in life where the transition may be smooth and easy, and then we may go through transitions in life where the transitions may be rough. But the whole purpose is for you to keep moving forward and trusting God, no matter what it looks like. I want to read another scripture here, if I can, real quick. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Again, that was Deuteronomy 31 and 8. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." You know, the enemy likes to plant these thoughts in our mind, and like Sister Dove, Evangelist Dove said on yesterday about the spirit of fear. The Lord didn't give us that spirit of fear. And he says right here, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, because he's with you. If you trust in him and you believe him, he's with you no matter what and how hard the situation may look. A lot of us, you know, like you were saying earlier, our parents are getting older, and, you know, it's we need to be making sure that they are getting the best of life, because they gave us the best of life. So it's our time to do what we need to be doing for our parents. And as parents, we should be doing what we need to be doing for our kids as well. So it's like a cycle, like everybody has to play their part. And in order to play your part effectively, you have to ask God, and you have to make sure you're doing it the way he wants you to do it. I remember I had a situation in my life where I knew the Lord wanted me to move forward in a situation, and I dragged my feet. When I say I dragged my feet for years. I didn't put forth the effort to transition to what he was telling me to do. And it took the death of my brother in order for me to wake up and be like, hey, let's get it together. And after the death of my brother, it was tragic. It was unexpected. But the transition that took place is me to where I am right now and walking in what God is calling me to do. So transitions ain't going to be all pretty and fluffy and with a bow on it. You know, you may have to go through some things, but stay in the will of God, stay in his will. And no matter what, it will work out. If you're going through something and this is going wrong, just ask the Lord, okay, am I doing what you're telling me to do, or am I doing what I want to do or what I think is right? So make sure you're doing what the Lord is telling you to do. Go ahead, husband.
No, it's just in a lot of things. Sometimes we hit our heads and we don't think what we're doing is right, but it is right. It's just a process that we have to go through. Well, and like you said before about that microwave mentality, if you go on a cruise, and I would love for everyone to be able to go on a cruise, to get on a big ship and go on a cruise. Because if you're on a speedboat, you can turn that speedboat around really quick. And it moves quick, and you spin, and it's quick moving. But when you're on a ship, when the ship turns, you don't feel it turning, you don't see it turning, but it's turning. And as time goes on, stuff is going to turn. And it may not look like anything is happening, but things are happening, but it's not your will, and it's not your way. It's God's way. And sometimes it's just a process, and it's a time process. It may not look like you're winning, but if you just stay with the Lord and keep his presence, and I keep saying presence, because as long as you have his presence, you can always have the victory because you feel his presence. It's when you don't feel his presence is the issue. And a lot of microwave church people want gifts, his presence. And even though he wakes you up every morning and give you the breath to breathe, it's the presence, not the present. If the Lord don't do me anything else and I can feel his presence, that's all I need. That's all I need. And even though things are going to get rough, and I don't want to keep talking about it, but in order for us to transition to be a better husband, you have to go through some tough times. And the tough times you go through, the transitioning part is, okay, are you going to change or are you going to stay the same? Because if you stay the same, then you can't say that you feel his presence, because God doesn't want, he's not going to, the Lord, and when I say this, I hope I say it right. It may not sound right, but hopefully you know what I mean. He doesn't want me the same way today, tomorrow. If I don't grow, and the way you grow, you have to stay in his word. Staying in his word is how you have the presence of God. You cannot close the book on the Bible and don't open it up or hear the singing of the song. If you don't, you got to have something coming in order to have that relationship. And everything ain't going to go right. If you look at Jesus, who's our example, everything didn't go right for him. There was some times he asked the Father a couple of times on the cross, let this cup pass him. He wasn't happy up there. He had to do it, but he was hurting. He felt the pain. Just like sometimes we feel pain. But the presence is always going to be with us because of what he did on Calvary's cross. We will always have his presence if you're willing to open this book and hear his word. Open your heart and accept him into your heart. And you have to do that on a daily basis. And what a lot of church people forget, every day you have to wake up with the mind, heart of the Lord on your heart. It's like you have to repent and say the Lord's Prayer every day when you wake up in the morning. Because if you don't, you're going to forget. And you're going to do your will and not his will. And even us, that's been saved so long, sometimes we forget to do that. That's why we get caught up in stuff and we can't make that transition, is because we caught up in something else, because we didn't start our day off right. But you always have an opportunity, as long as you have breath in your body, to say, Lord, forgive me, let me keep it going, so you can make this transition. And when you make the transition, it becomes easier and easier. And then when things don't go right and you do make a bad decision, you'll get the conviction from the Holy Spirit telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Get away from it. And if you're not getting that, you didn't close the book. And you're leaning unto your understanding, not his understanding. And it's just that simple. And I don't know how people, I know me, and I can only speak for me. I know how I work. There's sometimes I may have thoughts, think things, and if I don't get hit with the conviction, because I have to stay in the word daily. So when something don't come up or I blank out a minute, that conviction hits, okay, I can't be, no, I have to go this way. I have to do this. And this is in every aspect of your life. You can't treat your 18, 19-year-old kid like they're three. It's going to hurt them before it hurts you. Because they don't, you have to know how to transition at every level of life with your kids, with your parents. Again, I can't stay 365 days and stay the same way. If I'm the same way for the next 3-4 months, at some point, my spouse, my wife, is going to get fed up because there has to be some change. There has to be something. And I'm not saying I'm doing anything wrong. There should be some spiritual growth. It don't even have to be bad, but you should spiritually grow together. And vice versa. She can't be the same way she is today 4 or 5 months down the line. There has to be some spiritual growth. And as long as you're in the Word of God, you're going to grow. You can see the growth in you. I can sit here now and tell you 3 or 4 things that happened just over the weekend, just watching my wife. I'm not saying it to uplift her, but it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. Even before we came on the air, something just happened. Something just happened before we came on the air. My wife said something to me, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's different. But what she gave out over the weekend, she just got it right back. Don't know how right now. Not going to ask a lot of questions right now. But it just got, boom, just that quick. And I'm just saying it because if you live your life a certain way and you put all your trust when it comes time to make transitions, like I said, you're going to fall on some of them. And you're going to need the Lord to help you get you back up. That's having his presence with you. Is when you fall, he's going to help you get back up, brush it off, and you're going to keep moving forward. Is when you fall and you can't get back up or you stay down there doing the same thing you've been doing. There's no growth there. And that's what we're trying to get people to see today. As me and my wife, as we grow stronger in the Lord together, there's things that I've done that I had to grow. If I'm still doing them same things, she's not going to tolerate that because it's going to hinder her growth. And if it hinders her growth, then the decisions has to be made because there's no way in the world, and I'm going to say this, I know she'll say the same thing, I can't keep going forward and you holding me back. I'm going to say that again. I can't keep going forward and she's holding me back. At some point, the chain is going to break. So either she got to get it together and come up and stay in this daily. That's why we're daily. It's a daily struggle. And some days she may have to wait on me, but if she sees the potential and I'm trying, it's not a problem because what we're supposed to do is being brothers and sisters in Christ. Your brother falling, and you're going to help them. If they're reaching up for help, you help them. You don't leave them. But if they want to stay and play in certain things, if your kids want to stay and play in mud, okay, well, you're not getting in the house with all that mud, tracking all that mud in my house. Because now it's going to reflect the way I keep up my house. It's the same way spiritually. You can't keep dragging me to do certain things that you know that I don't approve of because you're staying in my house. The Lord's not there. Now, I'm not talking about praying for them and hoping they have to make that decision themselves. That's transitioning as parents. That's transitioning as a husband and wife. And even in the church, if you just go into church, sit there and just saying amen, and that's it, and whatever the preacher or the elders or the are trying to teach you and you just sit there and don't do nothing, all you want are the gifts of God. You don't want his presence. Because there's no way you can sit in a service and hear God's word and not get excited and move. There's no way that you can sit and hear God's word, not get excited and move. I'm not saying that all the word you're supposed to jump up and shout and run around the church, but you ought to apply it to your everyday life. You ought to be able to move forward, not backwards. And if you go to Ephesians where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, every armor and every piece of equipment is for you to move forward. There's nothing back there. Can't no one get you from behind. because it can't get you far. So you have to move forward. This isn't somewhere where you got to take four steps back. Everyone should be moving forward. Even if you fall, you get up, you move forward. That's all I got. Go ahead, wife.
You know, I was thinking about different types of transitions, and I know I've been going through some transitions over the last, 6 months now, and the transitions that I've been going through a year ago, they probably would have had me in a nut house or something, because the transitions have been some doozies. So I was thinking about childbirth, you know, or pregnancy, I should say. When a woman is pregnant and, you know, the baby is growing and growing, there comes a point where, you know, it's time for that baby to transition out of its home that it's been in, because it's outgrown that home. And with that transition, there are birth pains. The mom goes through a lot of pain to bring forth that child. And that pain may be painful during that time, but once that child is brought forth, I'm not going to say you forget about all the pain, but it's not like right on your mind, like fresh pain, because you're looking at what came forth. And a lot of the times we need to realize that we are all going through, if I can say, labor. Everybody is going through labor at some point in their life, and it may be painful, but the outcome is going to be worth it. The outcome is the beauty of you going through that pain. Even difficult transitions are opportunities, like you said, to grow closer to God and fulfilling, you know, His purpose for our lives. So just because you're going through that transition is...
So you just gave me something. I'm going to say something. I know I'm going to take a lot of hits when I say this. But when you say women going through childbirth, it is painful. And you always hear women say men could never do give birth because of the pain. This is why there's so many punks in the church today as men. This is why there's so many men that can't really be fathers, because you can't endure the pain that you have to deal with as being a man, as being a father, as being a leader. Is because if you know anything about childbirth, and I, you know, when my son was born, I was there. I saw it. And it's a beautiful thing. Even though I didn't feel the pain, I did feel the pain, because when my son came out, he was crying. You feel that. And when you feel it, it does something to you that will have you have a different opinion about a certain thing. And I'm not saying that you have to see it to be a man, but when you were speaking about that, I was thinking about that. This is why there's no a lot of strong men in the church, is because they don't know how to endure childbirth. They don't know what it's like to go through it. They don't know what it's like when that baby is kicking in the stomach. I don't know what it's like either. But if you see it, if you saw it, and if you was present and got a chance to cut the umbilical cord, you have an idea. I can never say I know what it's like, but I have an idea from what I saw. And what you see, it isn't a pretty sight when you see it. And when you see what a woman goes through to give birth, you have that much more respect for them when you see it physically. I ain't saying watching it on TV. I'm saying being right there. And if you cut the umbilical cord and you see some stuff that's not attractive. And when you see it, you feel that pain. And because you can feel that pain, you feel it, but you really don't feel it. You can understand it when you see it. So when it comes time to transitioning, and sometimes it is painful, sometimes because we want to do what we want to do as men, and because we don't want the pain of not being able to do it, we punk out and continue to do it. And then what we do is, especially if you're in the church, you find a scripture over here, and you claim onto that scripture. Like Jesus turned water into wine. That makes you want to be a winehead. That makes it okay for you to drink. That makes it okay for you to do what, and all from one little scripture. And because we don't want to quit, because we don't want the pain of the flesh to hurt us, we punk out. I can say it because I'm a man. We punk out. We don't want to experience the pain because we're men. I ain't saying all men are like this, but when you was talking about that, I was thinking about that, and Lord told me to drop that off. So, yeah, there's a lot of punks in the church. There's a lot of pretenders. There's a lot of people who can say this, that, and the other, but have you really been delivered? Have you been delivered? Because deliverance sometimes is painful because you have to deny the flesh, and it hurts. Just like it hurt for a woman for 9 months to carry a baby. It hurts for a woman 9 months because their body is changing. And if they can be troopers and deliver that baby and give you that son or that daughter, but yet you can't stop doing what it is you want to do in the world, I'm going to call you a punk. And all you got to do is go to the scriptures and read the scriptures and get his presence. So don't come tell, it's hard. It is hard. And I'm not just, it's hard to stop doing a lot of stuff. It's hard to, it's hard to be committed. It's hard to take care of a family, especially when people not listening, especially when people have their own agenda. But as men, we have to stand up and be accountable and be there and be an example for the next person and the next person. But if you want to treat everybody like it's okay, then, you know, it is not okay. That's why the church is weak. That's just my opinion. I'm going to be quiet on it and say some things that hurt some people's feelings. But I really don't care.
You, you said a lot there. But, you know, every day we go through some type of change, whether it's, you know, something that we recognize and we can pinpoint on where we need to go, what we need to do, or it's something that's unpredictable. So, you know, we have to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And transitions can also, you know, be something exciting. I think about, like, when my daughter went off to college, that was an exciting transition. And at the same time, it was scary. But it seems she enjoys being on her own and enjoying the college life and all of that. So it's also something that can be exciting. So it's not just transitioning with pain. You transition with joy, happy occasions. You have your child takes their first steps. That's a transition. You know, different milestones in your life can be great transitions that we all endure. So with the good transitions, the bad transitions, it doesn't matter. We just need to stay focused on what God, how God is directing us, if I can say it that way. And his word does assure us that, you know, he won't change even when everything else around us is changing, because, you know, I'm looking at these gas prices and how they're going up and all that, and this is an adjustment for a lot of people, including myself. You know, you've got to be kind of like, do I really need to go there today, or do I really need to go that far? Or, you know, you got to really think about what you're doing instead of just hopping in the car and just go. I even seen on the news earlier that, you know, Uber is going to be charging a little bit more, you know, because they got to accommodate for the gas prices. And it's a lot of transitions that took place during COVID and after, you know, since then. And there's a lot of transitions that we've all endured. I was talking to a doctor last week at the hospital, and he was talking to me about a lot of the youth. And this is just going to be a side note for a second. And a lot of the youth today, they are trying to figure things out because the transition of them having to go to school from home and being away from their peers and social distancing and all of that, it's playing a major toll on their mental. And I know as adults, we go through things and – a lot of adults don't know how to handle it. And we go through depression and different situations. So pay attention to the young people too, because from what I'm hearing, it's they're dealing with a lot. They may not be able to express it, and they may be acting out in other ways. So if you see, hold on, my child I'm not used to seeing my child do that, and that this is not normal. The grades start slipping, and just different things that are going on. It's hard for them to do this transition, and now some of them are back in school, and they have to get reacquainted with you know, what's going on at school, and it's not easy. So keep in mind the transition of the young people as well. Just because they're young, you know, people be like, they kind of like don't pay them no mind because they're young, they ain't been through nothing, they'll be all right. But pay attention too, because, you know, I think a lot of them are crying out for help and they don't know how to voice what's going on the inside of them. So they're going through transitions as well. I wanted to read Hebrews 13 and 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he promised in his word never to leave us nor forsake us. So it's important that we continue to trust him and, you know, get help in your transition. If you have somebody that you look up to, somebody that you see may have gone through something you went through. Now, not to be gossiping and doing no drama stuff, I'm talking about some real people that you know are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You can reach out. People, we all go through different things, and we may be able to help people transition from one point to another. And then sometimes you need to just sit back and be quiet because you got to see what the Lord is telling you or telling that person. Maybe he wants you to move out the way and let him do his work in that person. So the only way you're going to know that is if you seek him and you ask him and not just do things under your own will. I wanted to do one last scripture, Proverbs 3. You can start at verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Not about what you think and how you feel you should be doing it. Lean on him. Trust him and let him lead and guide you. Go ahead, husband.
No, I was going to say, I had to, for a second while you was talking about the kiddies, I had to take a call. And it's very funny because it seemed like, and, you know, I got to mess with you a little bit, so don't take it too personal. Like you pivot when I was talking about the men being punks and they don't know nothing about going through pain because we feel like we got that men pride and we're the head and we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to do that. When you're transitioning, and like we said in the very beginning, it's not always easy. It's painful sometimes to transition. When you lose a loved one, it's painful. But when you look in the Word of God, it tells us to rejoice when they die and cry when they come in. That's the Word of God. That's what it says in the Bible. If I'm not, that's what it says. I got to find the scripture where it says that. But I believe it just says that you're supposed to cry when they come in and rejoice when they die. And the only reason I'm saying that is because when you talk about the kids and that, it goes right back to the men. Because if the men were strong, I would like to think it would be different. And I heard what the doctor said to my wife about these kids. They're not built the way we were built. And it's not their fault because they didn't ask to be here. It's what they're being taught. It's what they're seeing. And when you see, especially me, I can't speak for the woman because I'm not a woman. I can speak for the men. And when you see what men are doing and they don't want to endure pain, they don't know how to go through pain. And not they don't know how to go through it. It's the fact they don't have the relationship with Christ. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's just that simple. It's not hard. They don't have a relationship with Christ. They don't know how to open the book and read the Bible. They don't know how to pray. And because they don't know how to do a simple thing, they pretend they do by saying amen, hallelujah, and learn two scriptures. And whatever two scriptures they learn. And the rest of it is cliches. And that's what they live on. It is never no pain. And the pain is covered up with what? The things of the world, not the things of the church. And one of the things I've learned over the last few months is nothing that I've learned in school, nothing that I learned when I went to seminary school, and I know I'm not saying it right purposely because I didn't really learn nothing there, but what I've learned in the last few months to make me a better man is the things that the Lord has shown me through prayer and through reading his word is how I'm going to get over. And then when he convicts me what I'm doing wrong, he convicts me. It's not my wife telling me I'm doing something wrong. It's when he convicts me. He may use my wife to show me I'm doing this wrong. But when that conviction hits, it hits hard and it hurts. And yeah, I want to change. But whenever that conviction hits and I don't want to change because I'm not reading, studying, I'm not doing none of those things. And that's why I can say the men are punks. Not all men, but some men. Because you got to listen to somebody. I ain't saying listen to everybody, but you got to listen to somebody. And if you go into a church and you have a pastor, listen to your pastor. You listen. If you want, listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's preaching. The Lord got you there for a reason. And if you're going there for a reason, listen. And sometimes listening means to shut up and listen. And then do what the Lord is telling you to do. But because, and again, maybe I can pick it up next week and talk about it, but women are stronger than men because they know how to endure pain. They know how to get through it. They know how to call on Jesus. They know how to fast. They know how to pray. Wait a minute. I'm not talking about the pastor calling for a prayer and prayer. I'm talking, where are the men at praying? Where are the men at fasting? Because when you do certain things, it hurts. And when it hurts, it bothers you. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. And wife, whatever you want to close out with, you can close out with, give the announcements and all of that. But I'm going to say this. I'm at the point now, and I was thinking about it today, and I was telling my wife that I'm having a problem, and I don't know if the Lord is trying to get my attention, but I'm having a problem with red meat. It's just not sitting well with me. And I'm feeling, and I want to say I'm going to try to give it up for a couple months. Now, people say, oh, don't go over. I'm feeling it, and I'm just feeling it to make a sacrifice. Now, is it a healthy sacrifice? Yes. Is it a sacrifice I'm doing for life? Because I'm going to deny myself something that I really love. My wife thinks I can eat steak every day. But this red meat is something I think the Lord is telling me. And I think, I'm not going to put it out there yet. But if you hear me say that I'm not going to do red meat for a couple months, believe you me, it's a self-fast between me and the Lord so I get closer to him. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying, as the Lord giving me, I told you I was wound up today. As the Lord was giving me stuff today, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about it. And if my wife can give up bread with ease, she did it with ease. And I'm not saying that she didn't suffer, she didn't crave it, but she made it look so easy to sacrifice it. And I'm scared because I love to eat red meat. I love steak. But with that, I would love to go buy those big, juicy, I will pay $80 to $100 to go eat a steak. I'm not saying it to brag, but I will do that. But now, as I'm getting older, and I want my relationship with Christ to even take me to other levels and to transition to other levels, I have to deny myself in order to have that relationship with him of something that I love, because it's not my will, it's his will. And he's going to see what I'm willing to give up to get to know him more and more. And then I look at my wife, if she can do it, and I think it's been almost 2 years, a year and a half, I can't remember how long, but she's done it so easy. It's just a way of life for her now. So it's given me, but I'm too scared. And yeah, I can call myself a punk because I don't want to hurt. I don't want to take that because I love it so much. for whatever reason is, I want to do it just because. And that's the same mentality men take into almost every aspect of their life. We don't want to feel the hurt. And when we don't want to feel the hurt, it's like, okay, we slapping God in the face as much as he hurt for us and what he went through for us. And I'm just going to say it. If you're a man and you got kids, you're going to hurt. Just like the wife that bared them, you're going to hurt because they're going to do something that's going to hurt you. Or they're going to get hurt and you're going to feel their hurt. But instead of just, you just make them and don't want to deal with them because you don't want to feel the hurt, you're a punk. If you're a man and you got a wife and you ain't taking care of your wife, and if your wife ain't your kryptonite, that means should make you listen to her, help you, go the right direction. Every time my wife come at me, she's trying to make me a better person. I don't always see it. I don't always feel it. I don't always like it. But she's not trying to do it to harm me. And the Lord gave me that for a reason. So if I'm going to accept her as being a good thing, I have to listen to her when she tells me I'm doing something wrong. I can't have that man ego. Well, I'm the man, and it's like this. We as men, and I didn't mean to talk about the men tonight, if we don't get ourselves together, the church will never be as strong as Christ intended it to be because we some punks, and we don't know how to man up. We know how to man up to make a baby. We know how to man up to get a woman. We know how to man up to do, but when it comes time to manning up to leave for Christ, we ain't nowhere to be found. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, you done? You done going in on the men?
If that's what you want to call it. But in that conversation I was having, they were saying you was like, you was giving them a pass out by getting off the subject real quick. And that's what's wrong. We don't want to get off the subject
let me just say what really happened. My son came in and he was talking to me, and I had to tell him, I didn't have the phone to my ear. So I wasn't trying to get off the subject.
That's what it appeared to be. But that's okay. I got you. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
It wasn't you getting off the subject. But people want to be critical sometimes, and it's not being critical. But it's not just about men. It's about kids.
And
it's about your relationship.
Let me just say this. I don't have to comment on everything that's being said because, like you said, sometimes you just need to be quiet. So if I didn't say nothing and something distracted me, maybe it wasn't meant for me to say anything. How about you look at it that way, whoever made the comment? Everything don't need a comment. You know, maybe it was your time to tell how you felt, and I'm just supposed to be quiet on the situation.
You've been hanging around me a little too much. You're right. You 100% right. Said it like it is. But at the same time, I do understand because, you know, women sometimes want to not let, they don't want to be truthful when it comes to men or their babies. They want to let them off the hook. But I'm not going to let them off the hook, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Men are punks. And when it comes time to hurting, we don't want to hurt. I'm a prime example of that. And the Lord is showing me some things in 2022 that I wouldn't even dare have tried to do in 2021. But one of the things I will do is we'll speak my mind. And especially the Lord put it on me. And Lord put all this on me today to say it. When you're transitioning, some of the transitions are good. Some of them do hurt. And for the men,
well, we don't hold to the transition of no red meat. I would love to see this with my eyes because,
like
you said, I'm really no red meat because I can't even imagine you not going down there cooking you up a steak.
Let me say this. I'm not going to challenge because it's not something that I would challenge. But the Lord has really been dealing with me about this. and he's been dealing with me about some other things. And to give up is me, I'm going to say it because I feel like I'm being led by the Spirit to say it. At some point, in a little bit, especially the way I feel right now, I could see myself taking a 30-day fast off of red meat, period.
I can't.
And then trying to, you know, it's not for you to see because this is between me and Christ. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
But I will,
you know, I'm very competitive, but I'm not going to be competitive about this. But I will say this, in order for me to get to another level and to transition, and since we're talking about that, there's something that I have to do to deny myself so Christ could see that I'm serious. It's not an issue for me to give up because I love red meat. It's not a sin for me to eat red meat. But I can tell you right now, I can give it up for 30 days for Christ with an ease.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have a problem
Praise
with
God.
It.
Praise God.
You know what? I'm gonna start, you know what? I got to discuss it with my wife if I do any type of fast. Before I do any type of fast, I have to discuss it with my wife. We heard that in church the other day. When I do this fast, I want my wife, because she's been blessed so well, to buy me a tailor-made suit. So when I do it for the 30 days, at the end of it, I want a suit. And I don't want no S&K suit, no S&W suit. I want to get it from people that make it for me.
I don't even know what that is.
So we will do that. So we're going to do that. So now that's going to be the deal.
Let me just say this. You cannot tell me what I'm going to do when you do what you do. I decide on how to reward you. You can't tell me how to reward you. Let me just make that clear right here.
You better go read the book of Ruth. Is it the book of Ruth? Yeah, I can tell you how to reward me.
No, you can't tell you how to.
Oh, yes, I can.
Not when it comes to me. No, you cannot.
Oh, yes, we're married. Yes, I can. We are
you
married.
Serious?
Yes, I
get
can.
Get out of here with that.
No, okay. You better go read your Bible.
Hold on, we're married. Don't just say go read the book of Ruth. Give me the scripture and where you talking about your point at.
My point is the way that you're supposed to take care of your king, period, in the bedroom.
That ain't got nothing to do with buying a suit. Come on, man.
Oh, yes, it do.
Yes, it do.
Where's our closet at? Where is my closet at? It is in the bedroom. Don't tell me because I won't tell me. It's in the bedroom. So the things that go on in the house, in the bedroom, and
in the
closet, all goes together.
I'm not entertaining.
You don't have to. The truth will set you free. And you should be set free when I give up this meat for 30 days of no steak, no red meat.
The thing about it,
I think I should be compensated. Huh?
That's what you think. But let me just say
Well, we're going to talk about this off the air.
Okay.
Well, let's hurry up and let's get off the air so we can talk about it off the air.
We're going to let y'all know if it's really going down or not. We'll go from there. We'll keep y'all updated and let y'all know.
Well, if you're in church, you'll see me in the suit because I won't wear a suit until she get me a tailor-made suit. And my tailor don't pay long to make it either.
Hold on. You at the end. Let's go through the process first. Let's get through the process. Let's do that first.
When you're going through the process, you're supposed to look at the end. You're not supposed to deal with the process. You're supposed to look at the end. Didn't the pastor say that yesterday? When you're going through the storm, you keep your eyes straight ahead so you can see the storm coming out. I see me coming out. So, yeah, I'm going
to
claim it right now.
Let
you can't deal with
me
on this word, please.
Hold on. Let me add this to it.
From the
Husband,
hood.
Let me add this to it. A lot of the times we're so focused on the there, thank you, Pastor Todd, from the looking at the there, and we're not looking at the now. You got to look at the now, too. You can't just look at the there. Look at the now. Because I'm going to tell you like this. Each day is going
to
be.
The song says, don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. I'm going to shout right now for my tailor-made suit that my wife is going to pay. And I'm already got my tailor texting me right now because he listens to my show. He's texting
me
right now.
But you're not eating red meat.
How about that? Because that would be a beautiful sight to see. So I'll join you in that shout. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, right. Well, so, I mean, well, right. Well, don't try to challenge me. We're supposed to be off the air right now. You got me going in overtime. I want to thank everyone that listened to the show tonight. Hopefully you got something out of it. Transitioning can be a good thing. It can be a painful thing. But there's something that you got to go through is transitioning through life. Just remember that. And also remember, keep God's presence with you at all times. Keep his presence with you. Stay in the word of God. Stay prayed up. And surround yourself around people who's going to uplift you, who's going to help you stay in the word of God, who's going to help you pray. That's what you need to surround yourself with. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we will have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study live at 7 p.m. right here on the same phone number and the same website, 7 p.m. Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you'll see Praise Tabernacle Church. We'll be live Sunday morning at 9 a.m., same phone number, same website, and it'll also be on Facebook Live, the Praise Tabernacle Church of Lawrenceville on their Facebook page. With that being said, I don't have no more announcements, but I'm just so you know, I'm not joking about the red meat. I really am seriously thinking about doing a 30-day fast and staying away from it because I'm trying this year to be a better disciple for Christ. If I'm a better disciple, I become a better husband. If I become a better husband, I become a better elder. I become a better elder, I become a better brother, better father, all solo down the line. And sometimes we got to sacrifice ourselves to do that. Now, I know I don't have to do meat. I can go on fast, which we will do. But at the same time, I'm really trying to get to a different level in Christ. The Lord has really been dealing with me on some things for this year, and we're going to continue to do it. So let's keep everybody in prayer. Keep our bishop in prayer, his family in prayer. Keep all the elders, Amen. Deacons, the evangelists. Praise Tabernacle, keep everybody in prayer. And for those that are listening mm-hmm. all over the country, we just want to say thank you and continue to support us as we continue to support everybody else. We're praying for everybody. And if you need anything, if you want to get in contact with any of Praise Tabernacle, if you need food, if you need prayer, it could be real discreet. My wife is going to give you the email to go to. And then she's going to dismiss us in prayer. And again, thank you for joining D&K Bible Break. We'll be back next Monday, and I'll let you know about the fast when it started.
All right, amen. In order to send your email request, send it to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That is P for Praise, T for Tabernacle, C for Church, F-O-R, Christ. @gmail.com. Prayer requests, praise reports, anything that you're needing to the email. I want to close tonight with Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Trust the Lord no matter what, no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel, no matter how you think. Trust his word and trust him and keep him first daily." All right, Lord, just bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everyone.